Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was the summer. It was August 2014. People were getting ready to go to picnics and baseball games. They were thinking about putting some money away for a little vacation come this Christmas. They were getting ready for a new career. They were just trying to go and get on with their life. They couldn't pay much attention to what the people in Washington were doing. They figured they were just like every other generation of politicians, just doing their thing, feathering their own nest, rewarding their constituents. That is, those constituents who put them in power. In other words, it was a time like every other time. Or was it? Welcome to the Savage Nation, because we are on the verge of World War III as a result of the imposter in the White House and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are trying to push a hot war with Russia. That is my theme today. And if you think that I'm making this up, let me give you some facts before you turn the dial. As I speak with you today, on August 6, 2014, the United States, under the peacenik Barack Obama, along with his cohorts in the new Soviet European Union, are intensifying the confrontation with Russia. Just Sunday, while you were preparing for your picnic, the head of NATO, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, gave an interview to the French newspaper Midi Libre, declaring that the military alliance called NATO anticipated Russian aggression and would respond accordingly. The head of NATO said that they will intensify its military maneuvers and draw up defense plans. On CNN, Sunday, while you were planning your picnic, CNN announced that Russia had commenced the military maneuver on Monday, which will take place close to the Ukrainian border, which will include 20,000 troops and 100 combat aircraft. Given this alleged threat by Russia to Ukraine, we said, I guess, that we have to strengthen our own military preparedness. Now, I got to tell you something. I've studied wars before. I told you I've studied World War I and the origin of World War I. This is eerily similar to World War I. While we no longer have archdukes, we have archfools. And the archfool in the White House yesterday, I played this over and over for you to try to get you to understand how crazy the man is. When he went off script in a meeting with the left-wing economist, did you hear what he had to say? I want you to play it again, Neil. Play clip number one so the people can listen to the fool on the hill. Listen.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
This is the President of the United States of America sounding like a drunk college frat guy who just came off a bender. If you listen to the innuendo, he's sneering at Russia. He's provoking Putin. Does he want an all-out war with Russia? Is anyone listening to this show? Anyone, you, lady, getting into your car with a bag full of groceries, you in New Jersey. Sir, you on the bicycle who has a headphone on somewhere in San Francisco who listens to this show in order to mock it because you think you're superior to me. Do you want a war with Russia? Is that what you think you put this clown in the White House for, to start World War III? Because that is what this clown is about to do. The stooge in the White House is not doing it because he particularly wants the war. It's because the forces behind the stooge want the war. You see, as the war with Iraq wound down and the war in Afghanistan is winding down, the bloodthirsty military-industrial complex cannot thrive without a war, a hot war. And there are many senators who have husbands in the armaments business through five or six different front companies, and the profits are just not there anymore. Yes, it's true the money is flowing in from the deals with China. while the wife is on major committees. I understand that. But the money they used to make on the war, it's just not good anymore. It's just not like what it was. And so, therefore, profit, profit, profit. They must look at the bottom line. And so, therefore, how better to raise profits for the husbands of senators and the wives of senators, for the husbands of congressmen and the wives of congressmen, for the sons of congressmen and the daughters of congressmen? How better to raise profits than to go to war with Russia? Now, it is true they don't want a total war. They don't want a nuclear war. They want a limited war. A limited war that will require munitions, require equipment, require food, transportation. There's not enough money in transporting illegal aliens, you see. They need to transport weapons and materiel long distances. So what is happening and why is it happening is what we're going to talk about today on the Savage Nation. We all know that Obama has created a new Cold War. He's done it single-handedly. 50 years of work has been, 50 years of an advancement of relations with the ex-Soviet Union, now Russia, has been thrown out the window because this fool on the Hill has created a new Cold War. Did he do so on purpose? He may as well have done so. It doesn't matter. The end result is the same. By the way, if you're not interested in this topic, I can't help you. I am. I'm very interested in war and peace. I'm very interested in living rather than dying. I'm very interested in seeing our society live rather than die. Every day I wake up and I see another disaster, either initiated by accident or initiated on purpose by this clown, this fool on the Hill, and his surrounding, the individuals around him. And so let's look at the facts, and then you decide if I'm being hysterical. You decide if I'm being an alarmist. You decide if you're the rational person and I'm the alarmist. I will caution you, though, that in the next hour, we're going to have a world expert on the subject joining us. Many of you only listen for 15 or 20 minutes. I heartily recommend that you listen all day today, because in the last half hour of the next hour on the Savage Nation, I'm going to have Dr. Stephen Cohen on from Yale University and NYU, who I've heard over the years, or actually over the last few months, speaking about this situation, and it's gotten much worse rather than much better. You will hear him say that, we are not only in a Cold War, it appears we're going to enter a hot war. He will also confirm my suspicion, or my, let us say, analysis, that it is not Russia that is the aggressor, but the United States and the EU. You'll also learn why the United States and the European Union have provoked the Ukraine situation to this level, and why they actually want war. You're not going to believe it because your mind is already distorted from the government media complex's propaganda. The phone number is 855-400-7282. So what's going on right now is a Cold War about to become a hot war. Listen to the fool on the Hill in clip number two saying that it's not a new Cold War. This is while he's trying to start a hot war. Listen.
It's not a new Cold War. What it is a very specific issue related to Russia's unwillingness to recognize that Ukraine can chart its own path. And I think that if you listen to President Poroshenko, if you listen to the Ukrainian people, they've consistently said they seek good relations with Russia.
The man is a complete and total fool and a liar. It is a Cold War. We have no business in Ukraine, none whatsoever. And I love when he says that Ukraine can chart its own path. I mean, he respects their borders. He respects their language. He respects their culture while he decimates our borders, our language, and our culture. So what's going on right now is very much a Cold War, and it's now a food fight. Sanctions were launched by President Zero against Russia. President Zero and his surrounding academic lunatics, who have never earned a living in their life other than academic or government livings, President Zero and his academic leftists who have never created a product or a service that anyone ever needed or wanted, President Zero went ahead and imposed sanctions on Russia without thinking ahead as to what Russia might do to us. So here's what Russia just did to us. Moscow has returned fire against President Zero with bans on food imports. Milk, cheese, and onions from Ukraine, Greek peaches, Serbian prunes, Polish apples and cabbage, Spanish meat are no longer going to be permitted into Russia. According to Russia's food safety regulator, these products contain toxic elements, are infected with dangerous bacteria, or violate other regulations. We know that that's all invented, But they have the right to say, we don't want your milk, your cheese, your onions, your peaches, your prunes, your apples, and your cabbage, and your meat. That's what's going on. Last Friday, one of the staunchest supporters of the Ukrainian government, Poland, had a ban slapped on its fruit and vegetables for repeated violations of food safety certificates by Moscow. As a result, Poland has now lost a market worth more than 1 billion euros per year. Before that, Russia had imposed bans on Ukrainian potatoes, soybeans, juice, canned fruit and vegetables, milk, cheese, and other agricultural products because of traces of antibiotics or labeling violations, they said. But more is coming. Russia has also threatened to block powdered milk from EU member Latvia, United States chickens, and bourbon, and all Ukrainian food products. My friends, this is how wars start. They start with sanctions, and they lead to bullets and bombs. The fool on the hill perhaps does not understand the game he is playing, but Putin very much knows the game he is playing because he has played it before. The community organizer is used to winning every battle he's engaged in because he only battles political opponents in the domestic arena, and he has won every battle he's ever fought because of the government media complex. And now we have the community organized President Zero taking on another nation, a nuclear-armed nation, which very much would like to be left alone to pursue its own interests, in one man's opinion, my opinion. The United States and the EU desperately want to seize that portion of Ukraine which has its connections to Russia, both linguistic and in other ways, for one reason and one reason only. They want that land because underneath the land lies shale. And the shale, as you well know, can be converted into natural gas. This is a war about natural resources. This is a war about energy. This is another war about energy, and this time it's the European Union and the U.S. trying to steal the energy out of the ground of the Ukraine, both in order to cripple Russia and, of course, to enrich the Seven Sisters who run the energy business. Now, that is my preamble to this show today. We could also talk about the insanity of bringing Ebola to the United States, which, by the way, the CDC refuses to identify the seven locations where individuals were tested for the presence of Ebola. All they will say is that the Ebola virus was not found in these individuals, but they will not tell us where these individuals were located. This is the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on war and peace, life and death, health and disease. The phone number is 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
But if you look at, for example, Ukraine, we have made progress in delivering on what we said we would do. We can't control how Mr. Putin thinks. But what we can do is say to Mr. Putin, if you continue on the path of arming separatists with heavy armaments that the evidence suggests may have resulted in 300 innocent people on a jet dying, and that violates international law and undermines the integrity, territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, then you're going to face consequences that will hurt your country.
So President Zero is concerned about the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine while he destroys the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the United States of America. President Zero is pushing us to a hot war. He's already started the Cold War along with Hillary Clinton, who got the ball rolling by calling Putin Hitler, if you remember. Another great genius. I think Hillary is the smartest woman on earth. She called Putin Hitler because of his taking of Crimea. And now President Zero is just so concerned about the territorial integrity and sovereignty, he said that there will be consequences that will hurt Russia. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand that things go in stages? Let me back up with you for a minute. Let's say you're in a car, you can't listen to this. You're too busy, it's just too much for you. You'll deal with it when it comes along. Entertain me, Mike. Be a clown. Tell me a meatball recipe. Tell me about Teddy. Entertain me, please. I'm not interested in world affairs. What can I do about them anyway? Well, I can't help you if you're not interested. If you want to put your head in the sand, go ahead and do so. But isn't it quite ironic that your president, the pacifist, is trying to gin up a war with Russia? Does it not strike you as odd that this man of peace, this internationalist, is trying to start a war with Russia? Does it not strike you as bewildering why he may be doing it? Of course, he's not doing anything. President Zero does what he's told to do. When President Zero goes off the teleprompter, you can see the real president stumbling around, not knowing exactly what he's talking about, which is why he made statements that were adolescent at best when he said that Russia doesn't make anything. I guess yesterday I had to remind him that, oh, well, really? Russia doesn't make anything in that adolescent Beavis and Butthead voice? Like he's talking to a group of college stoners? Russia doesn't make anything, Mr. President? Really, Mr. President, is it not the Russian rocket that takes our astronauts to the International Space Station, Mr. President? They're not flying there on Jane Fonda's green rockets, Mr. President. Apparently the Russians made a rocket that can go to the International Space Station while you've killed the ability for Americans to do it. Remember that, Mr. President, how you destroyed NASA because you're such an anti-war guy? And by the way, Mr. President, you said immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. No, they're not rushing to Moscow because all of the benefits that were given out by the communist state in the past, the housing, the medical care that was horrible, the one salami a month, they were eliminated. All of the freebies were eliminated under the new Russia. And everything that the communists tried and failed, you and your minions of idiots, your academic morons, have embraced as though it's brand new and fresh, and you're imposing them on America. As they have eschewed Marxism, you've embraced it. As they have gotten rid of the welfare state, you've created a bigger one. President Zero is on the warpath. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
Pardon me for the comic relief. I mean, I sometimes have to have a little fun on the radio. Russia doesn't make anything. I mean, I thought Beavis and Butthead had been buried a long time ago. But look, let me ask you something. Can we pull back and keep some perspective on this perspective that President Zero has tried to establish with his double talk? Let me ask you something. I like to watch documentary footage. I watch it a lot. World War II, World War I, anything to get my hands on. You look at World War I footage, and you see men walking around, dignitaries, so to speak. The president of France, who you don't even remember. The president of another country, who you'll never remember. The king of this, the duke of that, the schmendrick of this, the duchy of insanity. And there they are in all pomp and circumstance, and they're dead. No one knows them. They were just people, right? You look through the costumes, and you realize they're made of flesh and bone. As such, they're just like you and I. Some were born rich. Some were made rich. Some became rich. But they're just like you and I. Flesh and bone, subject and heir to all the things that you are. Some are brilliant. Some are ordinary. And some are dunces. Why do you deify President Obama? Why do you assume that President Obama, or any other president for that matter in this country, is somehow better than you, or smarter than you, or more seeing than you? Why do you assume he's not just an ordinary man put into the circumstance of extreme power? Why do you assume that any politician is smarter than you, wiser than you? Why do you assume that I, Michael Savage, I'm not smarter than him? What, because I'm not the president? Why do you assume that my ability to see things is not greater than his, because I'm not as blinded by greed and power as he is? Why do you not understand the danger he's putting this country in by destroying our borders, decimating our language, and spitting on our culture, at the same time supporting the borders, language, and culture, for example, of Ukraine? Why do you not understand the hypocrisy, and why do you not grasp what I'm trying to tell you? Is it not possible that we have a complete fool in the White House? A man who has gone mad on his own power? A man who has actually gone crazy and is so drunk on absolute power that he now possibly endangers not only the United States but the entire world? So look, I've made my point, and I'm going to continue to make my point. In the next hour, as I say, we have someone else who you may or may not like, who's an expert on this subject. Maybe he can answer some of your questions. But let me see what you have to say about my analysis thus far. Let's begin with WJR in Detroit. George, welcome to the program. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah. You ain't got to worry about Obama. He's half brother. That's Obama. Okay?
What are you saying? He's not going to actually engage in a shooting war with Russia?
He's a big sissy.
Yeah, but he has a big military, and he has a lot of people who are dying to go to war right now.
It's not, you know what? It's not Russia. It's going to be that ice knuckleheads. They're going to double back into Israel. When Israel comes and fights them, it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. What is Obama going to say about that?
I don't know what Obama's going to say about anything, but I'm pretty sure that he'll have something to say about it. KCMO, Kansas City, Fred, you're next up on the Big Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Putin made a fool out of our president, so I guess the Russians do make something, after all.
Yeah, very funny. How has Putin made a fool of President Zero?
He calls his bluffs at every turn. I mean, I don't think that he would have done what he's done in the Crimea if Reagan were in power.
Well, what worries me now is that the United States and the EU sanctions against Russia are now possibly, according to Bloomberg.com, threatening to hasten a move away from the dollar. This could be a gigantic global financial crisis that's triggered by these moves against Russia. Do you understand where that could lead us to, right?
Yes, I saw that yesterday myself, and China.
In Hong Kong, the Central Bank of Hong Kong has bought almost $10 billion since July 1st of U.S. dollars to prevent the currency from relying on the sanction-stoked speculation of an influx of Russian cash. But we shouldn't forget that Russia has a lot of its own cash that they can use in a financial war. And right now, Obama has engaged in a financial war when we are not exactly financially strong.
Well, if we lose the currency of exchange for the dollar, we're going to be in deep doo-doo.
Is that something that the Federal Reserve would like to happen, a collapse of the dollar?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's hard to know who's in charge of what. Let me read you some other news. Megafon, a Moscow-based company that has not been targeted by U.S. sanctions, is moving funds, Russian funds, into the Hong Kong dollar. And in Russia, they have billionaires too, by the way. And the billionaire Alisher Usmanov's wireless operator has traditionally kept its foreign cash in U.S. dollars, but no longer. There's wealth exiting going out. There's a company called OAO GMK Norilsk Nickel, the world's largest producer of nickel and palladium, is now keeping some of its cash in the Asian currency. What does that mean to you? Well, right now it means nothing to you. You're getting ready for a ball game or whatever. What can you do about it? Maybe you can do something about it while you understand what's going on here. We have no gold backing up our finances. We emerged from the collapse of the Bretton Woods system in 1971. The euro was introduced 30 years later. and the dollar has maintained its status as a haven currency, even when the 2008 collapse, which was created by Wall Street, spread from Wall Street to economies around the world. Then we had the Federal Reserve's unprecedented monetary stimulus. You know what that was, right? That channeled U.S. dollars into the economy through debt purchases. And what happened then? Britain and Germany said that the U.S. was debasing the U.S. dollar. Now, maybe this is too much for all of us. But soon it won't be too much for all of us. This was a dollar world, but under Obama, it's becoming increasingly less so. And the world has other players. And the other players may be more financially stable than we are under President Zero. WMAL, Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to bring up to you and your audience that a lot of the evidence that's being presented to the American public on the jetliner issue using overhead imagery, I used to do overhead imagery. It's all falsified. It's wrong. It shows the wrong weather. It shows the wrong time of day. They're making claims that you can check out the shadows that are there. It's wrong. They're not showing the right thing.
Well, do you notice that President Zero couched his phrase about the shoot down of the plane where he said that evidence suggests may have resulted in 300 innocent people on a jet dying? Evidence suggests. He's covering his tracks in case the truth comes out, because I see a lot of information that I can't broadcast on the Savage Nation that indicates that the Ukrainians themselves may have either inadvertently or on purpose shot the plane down. In the same way that Hamas was using children as human shields. By the way, if you doubt that, you can go to my website, because we have pictures from real journalists in four nations that don't work for this country that show Hamas in black hoods grabbing Palestinian children off the streets in headlocks and bringing them into the line of fire. In the same way, it could be the Ukrainians did the same thing and shot the plane down and tried to blame Russia. At least that's what I'm seeing on the Internet.
No, there's evidence. The evidence is that the launchers did their job and then drove the opposite way of Russia. They didn't drive home to Russia. They drove home to the central Ukraine.
I don't know what actually happened, but I do know that it's not a pretext for war unless you want to make it so. It's like the sinking of the Lusitania, or going way back, to the age of the Hearst newspapers. Remember? I mean, you know that story of how he said that the war, because of the sinking of a ship in Havana Harbor, I think something along those lines, the whole thing was made up by a newspaper man to sell papers. So we shouldn't assume that things have changed very much in the world.
And what if President Zero wants to be just like Roosevelt? The only way he's going to get four terms is he needs a world war.
Oh, God. God, I hope that my worst fears don't come true, because I have said this over and over again going back 2 or 3 years now. I said my worst nightmare was that President Zero would suspend term limits. And there's no better way for President Zero to remain president other than a world war and a national emergency.
Exactly. That's how he can take full...
I fear it. I sometimes fear my own insights, and I hope that I'm paranoid and wrong. I do in this case. In fact, I pray that my book coming out in early October called Stop the Coming Civil War is complete right-wing hysteria. I do. I hope that the 300 or so pages that I've worked on for the last year and a half with 600 references are all mistaken. I pray that the entire book is fallacious in its inception, from its inception to its deliverance to the American people. I really do. I do hope so. I heartily recommend you decide for yourself by analyzing the facts that I present to show you clear evidence that I think points to the direction that this government is moving towards, provoking people into an insurrection for reasons that you can well understand. But I don't want to get ahead of myself. Right now, we're focused on this issue of Obama increasing the Cold War to the level of possibly a hot war. If you have anything to say on this subject, the phone number here is 855-400-7282. There are other news topics, and we will get to them eventually on the Savage Nation. Let's take some of your calls right now. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Michael, go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Listen, I'm going to apologize ahead of time, but I have to disagree with you. I have voted conservative virtually my entire life since I voted for Reagan the first time in 1980. I served in the U.S. Army under Reagan in a combat MOS, not because I wanted tanks, but because that's what I wanted to do. I think that that you're going about this completely backwards. One, I don't have anything good to say about Obama at all. But I think that he has to be criticized individually for what he's doing and not doing. What he's doing to our borders is criminal. However, what is going on in the Ukraine, the earlier caller said it, what is happening in the Ukraine right now would not have happened under President Reagan.
Let's stop with Reagan already. You know, I can't take the deification of Reagan like he's a god. He was just a pretty good president, but he had a lot of flaws. Please don't bring Reagan in. It tends to diminish your argument. You mean Reagan would have launched a nuclear strike against Russia when they took Crimea?
I was part of an operation that Reagan initiated in order to press...
Can we not talk about Ronald Reagan? I will not do it on my show. I leave that to other talk show hosts who have run out of ideas. Please, let's forget Reagan. Please tell me what your point is, that Obama should have been more forceful against Putin when he took Crimea. Is that what you're saying?
Germany. We will ship from Fort Bragg to Germany.
Michael, please, let's not talk about your personal odyssey, which I'm sure is interesting, and I'd like to read about it someday. Are you suggesting that President Reagan would have launched a strike against Russia when they took Crimea?
Well, not a strike, no, but you asked the Ukrainian president to invite the 82nd Airborne to go there for a state-paid two-week vacation. No weapons.
Why is the 82nd Airborne not being sent to Iraq to wipe out ISIS right now before they blow up the dam over Mosul? Oh, the caller left. I guess he had to go back to the DNC for a refresher course on how to call to conservative talk shows and try to reason with the audience, because he didn't make any sense to me. All I heard was Ronald Reagan four times, which is the last refuge of the failed talk show host. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com.
If he respects and honors the right of Ukrainians to determine their own destiny, then it's possible to make sure that Russian interests are addressed, that are legitimate, and that Ukrainians are able to make their own decisions, and we can resolve this conflict and end some of the bloodshed.
This is exactly the rhetoric that was present in the world during the Cold War, when as a child I had to jump on the desks and prepare for a nuclear attack. Would you believe that President Zero would be so foolish and reckless as to have let it to reach this point? Can anyone listening to this show tell me what interests we have in Ukraine? Let's start with the beginning. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. What interests do we as Americans have in Ukraine? The answer is none. Zero. It's not our business. It's not in our backyard. As I said when this began, this is within Russia's sphere of influence, not ours. This would be the equivalent of us having a border dispute, for example, with Mexico, and Russia saying things along the lines of what Obama's saying about Russia. Some issue with Mexico, some border dispute, some territorial dispute, and Russia saying that it's their business. What would we say if Russia started meddling in our affairs with the North American continent? What would we say? It's none of their business. Well, that's what the Russians are saying. It's none of our business. What in the heck is Obama meddling in this business for? Now, let's go back to the beginning. There is a beginning. There was an elected president named Viktor Yanukovych. He was elected. He had a government. He was overthrown because of John McCain, who should go to prison for what he did. John McCain, the warmonger, went over there in December during the Russian Olympics when Russia could do nothing and stirred up the masses in the square. Do you remember? Do you remember what happened next? The elected leader was overthrown. and an illegitimate, non-elected government seized power in Ukraine. We're backing an illegitimate government in Ukraine.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
Yep. President Zero is sure on the ball. He's done such a fabulous job here in the United States of America in protecting our borders, our language, and our culture, and our national economy, that he's now on to the international world. And he's a genius, as you well know. There was an elected leader of Ukraine called Viktor Yanukovych, which... he was overthrown because McCain, the instigator, was sent over there in December when Russia could do nothing during the Olympics, stirred up the masses, along with the fascist right in, or call them a fascist, anything you want, in Ukraine, a long-standing element of Ukraine. Certainly not all those who want independence from Russia are fascists, don't get me wrong. But as you well know, there's a very, very strong fascist history in Ukraine. Look at World War II. So they combine with the girls with the tight pants, as I've told you before, with the iPhones that seem to attract the attention of those at CNN and Fox. And with McCain, the warmonger, stirring them on, he fled. Yanukovych fled. And as a result, there was an illegitimate parliament that was elected, well, put in place, God knows what. And the first thing it did was try to kick the Russian sympathizers out, or tell the Russian sympathizers to join them. Not everyone agrees with these positions. Some in Ukraine want much closer ties with Russia for linguistic and cultural reasons. And then the U.S. enters the picture. And what is it really about? Why? What is this really about? Why is U.S. meddling in Ukraine? Why? Why is Kerry meddling in Ukraine? Why? What's it all about? Why is Russia now on the brink of a hot war with the United States? Why? Tell me why. I can tell you why. It's a very dangerous game that's being played on both sides right now. America and the EU have chosen aggression and intimidation of Russia as a first resort. They started with sanctions, not realizing that Russia was still a powerful nation with options. And today, Russia, yesterday and today, has responded with their own sanctions. What's the standoff about? Tell me what it's about. Well, it's about oil. That's what it's about. It's about oil. It's about exploiting the resources under the ground in that portion of Ukraine that is closely associated with Russia. And Obama is just basically doing the bidding of those who want him to say what he's saying. But I personally, from one man's perspective, we don't have any issue there. It's not our business. So what do you think about this? At the turn of the hour at 1:30 here on the West Coast, 4:30 on the East Coast, we have Dr. Stephen Cohen, who knows more about it than I do. But as I've heard him on other shows, everything I've said he seemed to confirm. He's the expert. I'm not. I'm just a man with logic and some knowledge of history. And I came to the same conclusions he did as an expert who has a great knowledge of history, both local and international. So I'm going to have him on the show, and you can pose questions to him. Let's listen to clip number 8, where General Keane has something to say about the Cold War that Obama has initiated. Listen to this.
While many people are kind of questioning whether we're in a Cold War or not, I know the president doesn't believe so. I think Putin absolutely is convinced he is. He is starting it. And he wants to finish it and win it on his terms, because he clearly wants to be the most dominant country in Europe.
Okay, that's an American military man. I could respect his position. It would be from the American military perspective. But he does acknowledge that there was a Cold War that was reinitiated, and Obama's certainly not throwing cold water on the Cold War. Let's put it to you that way. Does that work for you? No, President Zero is not throwing cold water on the Cold War. He's putting a flame under the Cold War to get it to a boiling point. And so we risk this turning into a hot war. Remember, things happen by accident. We could be backed into a war without even wanting it. Do you understand how wars start? Again, I refer you to World War I. It was an accidental war. It led to the deaths of millions, which led to World War II, which led to the deaths of tens of millions. And here we are, 100 years later, and apparently the geniuses who run the world learn nothing from history. And let me remind you of what the Spanish philosopher Santayana, not the musician, wrote when he wrote this. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Well, apparently we have those who are historical imbeciles running the United States of America. They know nothing of history, and they're repeating history. They know nothing about history, and yet they've restarted the Cold War. God knows it could become a hot war. Why are they doing it? Why are they pushing the United States into this situation when really we have nothing? What does it have to do with us? Would Russia withdrawing from that? Let's start with the obvious questions here. Let's say Russia backs down and Ukraine is now one country. How do we benefit from that? Answer, we don't. Let's say after that, Ozero brings NATO troops to the border of Russia. How do we benefit from that? We don't. Let's say after that, Ozero brings the 7th Fleet to Crimea and gets into a battle with the Russian Navy and forces them to withdraw from Crimea. How do we benefit from that? The answer is none of the above do we benefit from. Zero. So President Zero is in a zero-sum game. There's nothing to be gained from this. Nothing. This is at the same time he's decimated our borders, language, and culture. He's telling us to be concerned about Ukrainians' right to self-determination. Does that make sense to you? Tell me what sense that makes to you. Put aside what you think of me in general. Let's say you're a thinking person on the left. Tell me what we have to gain from this. That's what I want to know. Let's go to New York City right now, WABC in Manhattan. Susan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah, whenever something horrible and nefarious goes on, I always wonder where George Soros is. And I believe that Obama sits at the knees at Soros. I know Soros is very opinionated in this.
Have you noticed that the loudmouth Soros, who was all over the place during Bush's years, has been silent over these last few years because he is running the world, in my opinion?
I know that he had an interview on CNN, and he said that we must decimate Russia's oil economy by opening up our own oil reserves, that we have to wipe out their economy.
Oh, so old George has some money invested in some oil plans there, I see. So what's good for Soros is good for the world, is that it? So he is the Rothschild of our time. Rothschild said, don't give me control of a nation, give me control of its currency, and I'll control the nation. Is that who you're referring to now, old Rothschild Soros?
I don't know what he is, but I do know that he is so dangerous, and I believe that he has a foothold in this administration because he's horribly, horribly...
A foothold? He is this administration. He's trying to destroy our borders, our language, our culture, our military, and at the same time he's telling us to destroy Russia. What is he after here?
He hates Israel. He's a Jewish man who hates Israel. He cannot...
Are you sure he's a Jewish man who hates Israel? Are you sure of that?
There are
questions about his Holocaust story that are completely suppressed every time they come up.
I don't know, but I think this man must be investigated. I think he is into anything. I don't know...
How can you investigate him when we don't have a Justice Department? Who's going to investigate him?
I don't know, but I also want to know what's his involvement with Iran and all the foul decisions that have been made about Iran. This man frightens me, and because we have such an inept and horrific man in the White House, he's taking He's being tutored.
Susan, I get it. I know you're getting very upset because President Zero seems to be a puppet of Soros, is basically what you're saying. I can't agree or disagree with you, but if one were to construct a novel based on that thesis, you could come to the conclusion that you're correct. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
I just think our business, in particular the fossil fuel business, Exxon, BP, are influential enough to keep this from spiraling out of control. BP owns 20% of Rosneft, the state Russian oil company. Exxon has business interest in Russia that Bloomberg put at a value of 70-plus trillion. That's trillion with a T dollars. On one project alone, they're spending $300 billion in hopes for a $900 billion return. You know, the sequester we talk about here in America, that was $900 billion over 10 years. So the sequester brings this country to our knees. That's one business deal for Exxon. These people are going to keep the situation under control.
You think that international business interests will not permit a hot war?
I think not with Russia. They won't. There's just too much at stake in Russia.
Well, but you did hear about the sanctions going back and forth and what Russia did today in terms of cutting off imports of various food products. You heard about that, right?
Well, yes, I did hear about that, but they aren't covered.
Well, listen carefully. Your allegation or your suspicion is that international business interests would step in and stop this from getting out of hand. Well, they haven't done it yet. Poland has just lost a market worth more than 1 billion euros per year because Russia imposed sanctions on Polish products.
Stop saying business and start saying fossil fuel interests, and you and I will be on the same page. Look, we went to war in Iraq to get the oil flowing again. We went to war the first time in Iraq so that we could have this lily pad sphere of influence in the Middle East that we never had before, bases in United Arab Emirates and Kuwait and Saudi Arabia. We never had that until the first Gulf War. The second Gulf War, after years and years of sanctions...
Let me interject right here. If it was a war for oil in Iraq, we sure didn't do very well, because they gave the oil rights to China, not to the United States, after all of our men died and were maimed, to free those 28 million ungrateful Shiites from the yoke of Saddam Hussein. We didn't benefit from a barrel of oil from that war.
You're not suggesting George Bush was a competent president, are you? You're smarter than that.
Well, I was a critic of George Bush over many of the years, and I called him a fiscal socialist, so it really isn't about George Bush. It's about the fact that there should have been oil sent to the United States of America after that war. I think we would agree on that.
I think so, too, but our government wasn't competent enough.
No. That's where you're wrong. The reason that they did not supply America with the oil, even though it was us who freed them from Saddam Hussein, is because the oil interests didn't want that oil flooding the market. They wanted to artificially keep the prices of oil artificially high by controlling that oil. That's my opinion. But if you want to talk about oil, why not Mexico? Mexico has decimated this country's economy with a flood of illegal aliens who have sucked our system dry. Medication, legal, housing, you name it. Incarceration. Why has Mexico not been required to pay us one barrel of oil per illegal per year? That would be an awful lot of oil that they owe us. I'll be right back.
It's not a new Cold War. What it is a very specific issue related to Russia's unwillingness to recognize that Ukraine can chart its own path.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Right now, what we've done is impose sufficient costs on Russia that, objectively speaking, they should, President Putin should, want to resolve this diplomatically. Get these sanctions lifted, get their economy growing again, and have good relations with Ukraine. But sometimes people don't always act rationally, and they don't always act based on their medium or long-term interests. That can't deter us, though. We've just got to stay at it.
I don't think he knows what he's doing. I really don't think he knows what he's doing. I think he's being misadvised. I think this is a disaster. I know he's restarted the Cold War. I'm afraid it could become a hot war. Now it's food. They're both sanctioning each other with food. Russia reacted yesterday and cut out $1.3 billion worth of products from Poland, a staunch supporter of Ukraine. Other nations' products have been banned from entering Russia on one pretext or another. McDonald's, which has operated in Russia since January 1990, has now have 430 restaurants in Russia, has been approached by the Russian government, being told that they have violations, blah, 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 mislabeling, and they're going to go after the entire McDonald's chain. So as you can see, President Zero does not understand business. He never has. It's not in his DNA. He has always been he's a lifer inside academia and government, as are his cohorts. Remember that he does not have many individuals, if any at all, that I know of, whether it be Janet Yellen, who is, so far as I know, never even owned a McDonald's franchise. I don't think any of the academic leftists who are running this world ever produced a product or a service that anybody ever needed. They don't understand how business works. And so they're running on some kind of left-wing, call it any wing you want, screed of get even with Russia. They're headlong, they're flying in the face of all common sense. But I have to bring it back to you, the listener. Forget left or right. Forget whether you're a conservative or liberal. I don't care whether you have pictures of Vladimir Lenin or Ronald Reagan on your bureau. It doesn't matter to me. Can anyone listening to this show tell me what interests America has in Ukraine? I don't know of any. I don't know of any. Have we not learned from our military adventures in Iraq and Afghanistan? Have we not learned to stay within our own sphere of influence? What in the world are we doing there? This is within Russia's sphere of influence, not ours. That's my opinion. That's my opinion. At the bottom of the hour, we have an expert, Stephen Cohen, professor at Princeton and NYU, Russian studies, politics, and a columnist, strangely enough, for The Nation, a magazine I generally detest because of its left-wing orientation. But it just shows you how politics can make strange bedfellows. Here I am, allegedly, on the opposite side of the political spectrum, in full accord with Dr. Cohen. He's 100% right. I'm a champion for America's borders, language, and culture, as any sane American should be. And yet we have a president who is decimating our border with Mexico, destroying and decimating our language and our culture as quickly as he possibly can, telling us to be concerned with Ukraine's borders, language, and culture. Not only hypocrisy, but foolishness. It's the Savage Nation. I know you're going to enjoy the interview, and I hope we have the time to take a few questions. We may or may not. Dr. Cohen shortly on the Savage Nation on the issue, the very important and pressing issue of the looming hot war with Russia. Right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. We're living in very dangerous times, in my opinion. We have a president who continues to goad Putin. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know what he thinks the end game is. And I believe that Putin, who has yesterday imposed sanctions on agricultural products coming from the United States and the EU, could have escalated it even further by banning the export of Russian rocket engines to the U.S. and the EU, which I guess would have crippled our ability to launch rockets and satellites into orbit. Our president had the nerve to say that Russia doesn't produce anything. And I had to remind this audience that it's our astronauts have to fly on Russian rockets to get to the International Space Station. For God's sakes, does he not know what's at stake here? I don't think this will end well unless we, the people, speak up. Something is wrong. And we have an expert who knows much more about it than I do. I have opinions based upon what I can see and what I have seen going on in Ukraine. But Dr. Stephen Cohen, professor at NYU and Princeton on Russian studies and politics, has studied this for a very long time. Dr. Cohen, a pleasure to have you on the Savage Nation.
Thank you.
What exactly is in the national interest of the United States, in your opinion, if any, in this Ukraine business?
This Ukraine business is destroying our national security. We are already in a new Cold War by any name. When Obama said the other day It's not a new Cold War. He's not on the same planet with us. And there's the danger, and I don't think this is alarmist, the danger that we could get in a hot war with Russia for the very reason you just mentioned, this goading and probing and pushing Putin into a corner. But even if all that doesn't happen, the United States needs the president of Russia, whether it's Putin or someone else, as a partner in our national security. How else are we going to get out of Afghanistan? We went in through Russia. We got to come out in part through Russia. Syria, Iran, international terrorism. We have lost for the foreseeable future a potential partner, an essential one. So this is a catastrophe for American national security, in my judgment. But the Obama administration presents it as somehow vital for our national security to press on against Russia and Ukraine.
But why? The issue for me is, I know that it's about fracking, converting the shale into natural gas. Isn't it somewhat about energy?
You know, I guess it is. But my view as a historian is that when you get to these critical turning points in history, and I think you were right when you said we're at something like that now, and we look back on them sometime later, we usually find four or five factors. I mean, some people want Russia's energy. Some people want Russia to be diminished to a non-great power. Some people are operating on old-fashioned ideology. Some people are stupid. It's very hard to know what's driving this. But the one thing we know for sure, because this has been true for 20 years, Obama didn't begin it, but he continues it, that some powerful faction in Washington and in Brussels wants to bring Ukraine and all the former Soviet republics into NATO. That's what's been driving this all along. And that Putin understands. And that is why Putin is pushing back. By the way, I have a fairly good set of sources in Moscow. And the dialogue changed in the Kremlin around Putin. You know, he has people who tell him one thing and tell him another. He's the decider, as Bush called it. In the beginning, this is what was said last week or so. In the beginning, they said to him, this was a battle for Ukraine. Now it's a battle for Russia. That's the perception of what the Obama administration is doing, that this is no longer only about Ukraine, that too, but about the future of Russia itself. So for us, it's something, fill in the blank. For Putin and for Russians, and he's got 85% approval in the public, it's existential. It's about what Russia's going to be or not going to be.
So it's very much, as Israel says, their position in Gaza was. It was existential.
And you know what's interesting? You mentioned that. When American television's basically shut out the story of this horrible war that Kiev, the Ukrainian government, our government in effect, is waging on civilians in these eastern cities. They show us, however, the pictures of Gaza after the Israeli attacks on Gaza. Leave aside who's right and wrong in that dispute. But we are not shown what's going on in these East Ukrainian cities by the government we support. We know there's 200,000 or 300,000 refugees. By UN standards, that's a humanitarian crisis. We know that at least 1,000, probably many more, civilians have been killed. They've stopped counting those injured. And when I say civilians, of course, it means women and children living in these cities. There's no protest. There's no horror. There's no asking of any questions. Because except on a few rare radio shows, yours, a few others, is this even discussed?
Well, Dr. Cohen, you've studied Russia. Do you speak Russian, by the way?
Yeah, I speak it badly, but well enough.
Is there not a statement going around in Russia which goes, I'm going to badly paraphrase it, something to the effect, today it's Ukraine, tomorrow it's Crimea?
It's exactly that. You remember I just said that Putin's being told. I don't know what he thinks. I think he thinks this too. But his tougher guys are saying, this is no longer about Ukraine, it's about Russia. And then they add, this is the expression that you quoted that I've heard, fight today in the Donbass, that's the eastern Ukrainian cities of Donetsk and Lugansk that are under attack. Fight today in the Donbass or fight tomorrow in Crimea. Crimea is now part of Russia. So, yes, that's not only going around, that's part of the discussion in the Kremlin. So when we are told, and it's probably at least half true, by the New York Times, by NATO, by the State Department, that Russia's again building up its forces along the Ukrainian border, I would say that makes sense, because Putin realizes at some point he's going to have to make a decision. Is he going to go in and save the Donbass? Now, I think what he's doing now, he is probably giving the militia, the defenders of those cities, more weapons to see if they can hold those cities themselves. So we've got a proxy war. I mean, we are supporting the Ukrainian government. The Department of Defense testified to Senate last week or the week before. It said we, the Department of Defense, have advisors embedded, they use that word, in the Ukrainian Defense Ministry. It means we're running that war. We're certainly advising them. So Kiev is our team. Putin's supporting the team in the east. That's a proxy war. So here's what's happened. What began as a Ukrainian civil war became a proxy war. And the proxy war could become an actual war between the United States and Russia. That's where we're at today in early August, I think.
But, Dr. Cohen, I see it that way. You see it that way. Others with some knowledge of history and wisdom see it that way. What in the heck is wrong inside the White House? First of all, let us say that this government has a reason to be on the side of Ukraine that they're not expressing. What in our national interest is there in Ukraine? I don't see any. Are there any national interests in Ukraine?
I voted for Obama twice, and it has been for me a catastrophic disappointment in the way he's conducted foreign policy, and particularly this particular foreign policy. As I said before, I think it's gravely undermining our national security. The answer to your question is that everyone, the United States, Russia, Europe, and above all the Ukrainians, it's in everyone's interest to have a stable, united, peaceful Ukraine. But that can only happen on two conditions. That Ukraine never become a member of NATO, that splits the country, and that there is a new constitution of Ukraine that gives enough rights to the different regions that they can elect their own governors, pursue trade relations both with Europe and with Russia. Then that's the solution. And here's the horrible thing. Everyone involved knows that's the solution. Everyone. And yet people are dying every day for whatever reason.
Dr. Cohen, what about the International Space Station? President Obama made the foolish statement that Russia produces nothing, and an almost adolescent swipe at Putin. I had to remind my audience, if they didn't know it already, that our astronauts fly to the station on Russian rockets. What's at stake in space if this rhetoric continues along this pathway?
Well, we cannot get to the International Space a platform without Russian rockets, without the Russian shuttle. We don't have any shuttles. We're building new shuttles, but I gather they're 5 to 10 years away. We've contracted Russian shuttles. If they say we're not going to ship you anymore, we can't go there. So essentially our space program now becomes futuristic. We have to build all our own stuff anew. But that's only the beginning of it, Michael. I mean, the other day we were told that the United States is breaking off all sorts of nuclear cooperation, protective relations with Russia. NATO has already stopped cooperating with Russia on anti-terrorism ventures. It's madness, but it is, of course, Cold War, isn't it? We've lived through it before.
Yeah, but it reminds me of what happened 100 years ago in 1914, which was the beginning of World War One. You're the historian, not me, but I, as an amateur, look at this and say it almost seems like we're being backed into a war without even wanting to get into one. That's how wars start sometimes.
I don't know about the analogy with World War One. I mean, the fact that it's August and it was August then, we're in an anniversary, has brought it to people's mind. I don't, as a historian, I don't know that history. But if human folly rather than necessity, national security, led to World War One, that's what's happening now. We have zero national security benefits in this policy that the Obama administration is pursuing. To be fair to Obama, this policy of pushing and pushing and pushing Russia with NATO began with Clinton and was pursued under Bush. But Obama's the president. He's been president, 6 years? He promised change. This is something he didn't change. He's made it worse.
Yeah, okay. Well, we don't have to go into supporting or attacking him personally, but we all know that a president, as you say, may be the decider. But someone is pushing him in this direction, and I don't know what those forces may be. But going back a few months now, last December, John McCain went over to Ukraine during the Russian Olympics and stirred up the masses with some of his war cries. I mean, you certainly recall that, don't you?
Sure.
And Russia was unable to act because the Olympics were on. It was very cleverly planned. Why is John McCain on the side of... Is it just because he's a military-industrial complex front man, in your opinion, or what?
Now, wait a minute. You didn't want to make it personal about Obama, but you want to make it personal about McCain. I don't.
Well, because I think that both of them are on the wrong track in almost everything. But why McCain? Why is he being used by this administration to do their some of their dirty work?
Oh, I think he does it on his own. I mean,
okay, let's leave it at that. We don't know. But the issue is this. How can the American people stop the trajectory that this administration is on? Can they do anything? Do the Republicans and Democrats still listen to them, in your opinion?
For what's going on and unfolding in Ukraine, I think it's too late. I mean, we only have one way to do it, through elections. The problem is, in my lifetime, and I've lived fairly long, I don't remember a single crisis like this when members of the House or the Senate did not come forward publicly and insist on questions being answered, on a debate, and even protest. On either side of the aisle, almost no one of the 535 members of Congress have spoken out against this crazy policy of the White House. So to hope for the people to change this, when the people we elected show no interest in changing it, is asking too much of the people. And their
good God. It's far worse than I think, in other words. We're living in a putative dictatorship run by some individuals. We don't even know their origins. Dr. Cohen is an expert on the area. He will be with us another few minutes right after the break, I assume. And if you have one or two quick points to ask him, let's not do editorializing. A question that's of some factual significance to the audience. 855-407-2822. Dr. Cohen, please stand by. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
It's not a new Cold War. What it is a very specific issue related to Russia's unwillingness to recognize that Ukraine can chart its own path.
President Obama is on a collision course with Putin for reasons I don't understand. And joining us again is Dr. Stephen Cohen, who knows an awful lot about this subject. Dr. Cohen, welcome back. We have such little time. I'm reading your Wiki article that they wrote about you. It says, during the 2014 unrest in Ukraine, Cohen drew criticism for his pro-Russian views, with sources describing him as an apologist for Putin. They've done the same to me, and I'm on the other side of the political spectrum. Why is that happening?
I guess they don't have any counter-arguments. My answer to that is not pro-Putin. I'm pro-American national security, and this policy is undermining it.
Now, you argue that you are an American dissenter. You also state that the media stifles anyone who even tries to understand the situation from the Kremlin's perspective, and they stigmatize anyone who sees Putin as legitimate is an apologist for doing so. And I've faced the same thing, Dr. Cohen. And again, I have to say, I did not vote for Obama twice. On the other hand, you did, and you supported him. Why is he doing this is the question. Who's advising him? I don't understand that.
We don't know who's advising him. And again, in my lifetime, I can't remember a time when an American president was involved in a crisis with the Soviet Union or Russia that we, people who paid attention, didn't know with whom he spoke in and outside of the White House. It's a mystery with whom this president speaks. I have one very old friend who served at very high level for more than 20 years in Washington, and who remains close to Kerry and to Biden, though not with Obama. And I asked him, what in the world are they trying to do? And then I said, are they trying to provoke Putin into a military intervention in Ukraine because they want a kind of OK Corral, a final showdown with the hated Putin? Is that the plan? Because that's what they're going to get. He said no. They have no plan at all. They're just ignorant and uninformed.
Oh, my God. It's absolutely everything I feared and worse. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for taking the time to be with my audience today and with myself on the Savage Nation. While we sign off in some markets, we have another 200 markets for another hour right here on your local affiliate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Sarah Palin, I think, she's not my all-time favorite. You know, you have a car, a little sign that says, be careful, handicapped person. I think when they have a retarded person driving a car, it should be a picture of Sarah Palin with a line through it.
That's Joan Rivers, who in saner times would be a brassiere fitter in Latvia. Welcome to the Savage Nation. In my day, this yenta, this hag, this nobody, who insulted all people who were handicapped in such a cavalier manner, the most she ever could have become would have been a brassiere fitter in Latvia. But in America, I mean, the sky is the limit, apparently. Attack people who are patriots, and suddenly you go to the top of the media heap. Welcome back to the show. I played that of the Latvia brassiere fitter, Joan Rivers, for your entertainment. But for the last 2 hours, we've been covering a very serious topic, which is the out-of-control situation in Ukraine. And we had an expert on, Dr. Stephen Cohen, who, interestingly enough, is on the other side of the spectrum. He voted for Obama twice, and he thinks that the policy in Ukraine is crazy, basically. Makes no sense and dangerous. And he said so. And I frankly didn't think he'd come on the show because I read his bio. I didn't even know this. It says he is married to the editor of The Nation, which is very interesting. He's now married to the editor of the progressive magazine, The Nation, where he is also a contributing editor, which I think is fascinating because they're the opposite, politically, usually the opposite of me. But isn't it odd that someone on the opposite side of the political spectrum in so many ways, me, Michael Savage, from those on the so-called left, have the same opinion on Obama's out-of-control foreign policy with regard to Ukraine and Russia? Isn't it interesting? Doesn't it fascinate you to understand that? And also, you should be thrilled that I'm willing to go, really, I'll talk with an expert. I don't care what their politics are. If they know what they're talking about and they don't come in blinded by their policies, I mean, their perspective, rather, I'll have them on the show. I have very few guests, as you well know. And there's a reason for it. Either guests slow the show down or they don't add anything, so I don't have them on. They're used by other hosts to fill up time. You know that. You can go in the kitchen and cook an egg if the guest is talking. And the longer they talk, the better you can prepare your lunch in the radio kitchen. You can literally walk out of your studio and go prepare an egg in the radio kitchen if you have a guest on. And just let them, you know, go on and on. But I don't get them for that reason. So here we are, the Savage Nation, champion for America's borders, language, and culture. The phone number is 855-400-7282. We're talking mainly about this out-of-control issue of sanctions against Russia and now Moscow retaliating in a food fight. And you should understand this is not over. It just began. And Poland has already suffered because Moscow has imposed sanctions against their food products. Poland has lost a market worth more than 1 billion euros a year, right? And now Russia is threatening to block Ukrainian products. In fact, they had imposed bans on Ukrainian agricultural products. Now they're imposing sanctions on milk, cheese, onions from Ukraine, Greek peaches, Serbian prunes, Polish apples and cabbage, Spanish meat, all being blocked from the Russian market. So President Zero, who has never held a job that produced a product or a service that anyone ever needed. Surrounding him, by the way, are other academic leftists who have never, ever had a business, don't understand business, don't understand what their preachings will lead to, are egging the president onto a continued confrontational attitude towards Putin and Russia. This is what I'm worried about. KSFO Don, you're right to call the Savage Nation, but I want to hear your opinion. What is it that you think about all of this?
It's unfinished business from the Cold War. You know, we built Trident submarines, MX missiles, never had to use them. But now it looks like we might have a conventional war with them. And I believe it's unfinished business. I believe there's a lot of hatred with the Russians against us. I believe there's a lot, and still there. A lot, yeah.
But I thought that Obama was a leftist that was in sympathy with Russia's Marxist leanings in the beginning. I don't think it's any of this. You see, I have another opinion that nobody has shared with me, and I'm going to say it again. And it's a very unique perspective. I've never read it. I've not read it anywhere, and I've not seen it. I've not heard it anywhere. I think Obama is being goaded against Putin for very, very different reasons. Reasons that are so irrational that they threaten the entire stability of the world. And those are Putin's social perspectives. Putin cracked down on gays. Putin has a strong anti-gay policy. Putin is hated by the leadership of the gay community in the West. Do you know that or not? Do you understand that this may be tied in with that thinking? Do you have any idea that that could be possible? I know you haven't read it anywhere, you haven't heard it anywhere, so therefore it's not true. Do you have to read it somewhere for it to make sense to you? Because here was a world's leading expert who voted for Obama twice. He said he doesn't know who's advising him or why they're going in this direction. That's one man's opinion. It just shows you what happens when people are so blinded by their agenda that they don't think through the consequences of what their agenda may lead to. And that is certainly something that you should think about. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. I really don't care whether you're a member of the Savage Nation or of the Marxist Nation. War is the worst possible outcome for anyone's policies. And I don't see the national interest in Ukraine. Not at all. WMAL in Washington, D.C., welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think you have to understand who Obama is. He might not be doing other people's bidding. He might be just doing what's in his head, what he was brought up with, what he thought his father wanted him to be. You remember he named his book Dreams from My Father. Isn't that a little bit psychologically crazy that this guy, he's channeling his father, he goes to his grave and he talks to him. And I think he hit the ground running right from the beginning to destroy this country, to do as much damage every which way he can, and he's doing a pretty good job of it. You know, the thing that doesn't really make sense, and he's a schizophrenic, by the way, he told Medvedev on a hot mic that just tell Vladimir, Putin, in other words, tell Vladimir that I could be more flexible after I get reelected. Well, if I were Putin, I'd be saying, you told me I could do this. You know, what happened? You're the one that reneged on it. Isn't that what happened?
I don't know what the heck he's thinking. I don't think he's thinking at all. I think someone is advising him in the wrong manner. And again, I would ascribe it to the social issue that I mentioned. That's one possibility. I don't say it's the only. There must be others, as we heard in the last hour. Certainly there are other forces advising him. You've got those wanting to sell munitions. You've got those who knows the reasons, but it doesn't make sense. Can anyone listening to this show tell me what our national interest may be in Ukraine? Please call the show. Please just tell us. Nadia on WJR in Detroit. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I was reading a Gallup poll taken from the Russian people, and 87% of the Russian people backed Putin, and they're closer to the situation. Now, here's Obama. Look at his popularity.
Yeah, I think you've made your point. In other words, 40% versus 87% popularity.
Yeah.
It's not really 40% anyway, any more than it's really 87% in Russia. So that's probably a false number, just as 40% is a false number in this country. I would think that Obama's approval is closer to 20% total. If you exclude illegal aliens and the automatic bias built into polls, he's not higher than 20%. And as far as Putin goes, it's still a semi-autonomous dictatorship in some regards. where the media is controlled by the government. God knows what his approval rating really is, you know. So I don't think that unto itself is the reason. What I'm concerned about is where this might lead. You know, wars happen sometimes through stupidity. Wars happen primarily through ego. Go back to when you were a kid. I don't care if you're a boy or a girl. Didn't you get into arguments with people that escalated into a pushing and shoving match and you didn't expect it to happen? Think about human nature. I watch animal shows, nature shows. I love Nat Geo. I love Animal Planet. Have you ever seen animals approach each other's territory? What happens? Whether it be an ant or a lion. Have you ever seen what happens when an animal encroaches on another animal's territory? Now, let me ask you something. Let's be pragmatic about it. Whose territory is being encroached upon, Russia's or the United States of America? Where is Putin encroaching upon our territory? Answer, nowhere. Where is the United States encroaching upon Russia's territory in Ukraine? I rest my case. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
It is the Savage Nation. We're talking about, look, we stopped talking about Ebola for the day because there's really nothing more we can say about it. Let's hope the epidemic is contained. I believe they did commit madness. They violated the first rule of epidemiology by bringing it out of the hot zone. It made no sense medically any more than trying to create a hot war with Russia makes sense. It seems to me this is a helter-skelter administration that has no centralized thinking. It seems to change course from day to day. And in this case, they're making a mistake that may affect all of us for the rest of our lives. It's that simple. KSFO, Jeff, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, you were asking what the what our interest is. Isn't Hunter Biden the CEO of the largest oil company in Ukraine?
Bingo. I forgot about old Joe Biden's son being involved in Ukrainian oil. How remiss of me, Jeff. I wish I had a copy of a book to send you because you just won the prize of the day. You filled in a blank here for both me and the Dr. Cohen didn't know that either, I don't think. Why, of course it would be self-interest, wouldn't it? It could be as simple as old Biden's son. Right?
That's
what you're saying. Why not? I mean, senators have gone to war over a self-interest. You know, shopping carts, military vests that don't work, that their husbands made for the military in the Iraq War, vests that fell apart. I mean, a lot of money has been made for war and on war. Wouldn't be the first time. Okay, what do you think? Utah, Neil, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, how are you? My mother was Romanian, and then I've been to Russia many times in Ukraine. I hang out there. All I was going to say is if you get the younger generation of Russians, they seem pretty cool on things. But if you get the older Soviet crowd, there's a feeling of an Aryan superiority that Russia is actually owed all of this land. You go into, they think that, hey, Ukraine's one step, Poland's another one because these people aren't as smart as we are. I mean, I've even been in conversations where they want Alaska back, of all things. So, you know, it's that type of mentality that just seems to reverberate.
So you have the old Cold War theory of the domino effect. You're actually agreeing with the Obama administration that if we don't stop them in Ukraine, they're going to take Poland and then Alaska.
Well, that's their mindset. The mindset of the old Russians that I talked to is exactly that it was stolen from them. And,
all right, so what do we have, old Americans advising Obama? Is that the problem? We have old Americans advising America and old Russians advising Putin? I mean, who is advising Obama is the question. Do we have a national sense of superiority as well, where it's Pax Americana, when we're no longer capable of running a war on two fronts, let alone on one front?
Yeah.
You know, what's bizarre here is Obama's been shrinking the military as rapidly as possible. We read at the beginning of the week he's firing 500 U.S. majors. He's putting in as many incompetent individuals in high places in the military as fast as he can. He's putting people in charge of airmen who don't fly airplanes. How does he expect to conduct the war?
Oh, I agree with you. We're on the same page. I mean, there's no question.
All right. Well, I'm glad we had a laugh over it. That's the main thing, is that we can leave with some kind of a sense of civility here. But we all agree that it doesn't make any sense. So, yeah, there must be an old guard that's militaristic in Russia. And there's certainly an old guard of Cold War warriors here in the United States who believe that we need a good confrontation with Russia right now to give them a good shellacking or something and show them or teach them a lesson. I don't know if that would that happen? Militarily, would that happen? Let's say it's not a nuclear exchange. You want to really get inventive here? You want to do a war game on the savage nation? How would that war game be played out? Now, let's see. Russia has a lot of tanks. And what did President Zero recently do? President Zero just destroyed the fleet of tank-killing airplanes that we had. Did you know that? 3 months ago, President Zero eliminated the greatest tank-killing machine that we ever had. President Zero did that 3 months ago. So since Russia is on the ground in the area, and we're not, the only way we could fight them would be aircraft attacking their tanks, if you just want to play a little war game, since some people want to do that. What would we take out their tanks with? Some kind of green solution that Jane Fonda would drop from an Airbus? I don't understand. What would we use against their tanks? 855-400-7282 is the phone number. We still haven't touched on Israel. We haven't touched on, well, a lot of things. There's so much in the news right now. We haven't asked ourselves the most basic question. Obama's all out of shape over Ukraine. He has nothing to say about ISIS killing Christians, ISIS destroying churches, the Islamo-fascists killing or converting minority religions in Iraq. President Zero instead is talking about Africa and the wonders of Africa and the future of Africa. President Zero, who seems to have no limits in his contempt for Putin, has not yet said one word about the Islamo-fascists who've taken over the Sunni Triangle. Why is that? Anyone answer that? Is it because the four horsewomen of the apocalypse are sympathetic to those in the Levant who are killing and maiming those who do not comply with their religious beliefs? Could it be that I'm closer to the truth than you may think? When I wrote the article, which I think is still on the bottom of michaelsavage.com, laugh at it if you will, Michael Savage, Muslim Sisterhood Runs White House. Why would I say a thing like that? Just for shock and effect? Well, let me ask you another question. He has a lot to say about Russia in Ukraine, and not one word to say about the Islamo-fascists in Iraq. Why is that? The decimation against Christians and minority religions in Iraq is actually real. It's terrible. It's genocide. And President Zero has said nothing. Yet he continues to attack Putin, who should be our natural ally against the Islamo-fascists. Did you ever think about that? Putin and the Russians are our natural ally in the war against Islamo-fascism. Do you get that? All right, it's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, if you look at, for example, Ukraine, we have made progress in delivering on what we said we would do. We can't control how Mr. Putin thinks. But what we can do is say to Mr. Putin, if you continue on the path of arming separatists with heavy armaments that the evidence suggests may have resulted in 300 innocent people on a jet dying, and that violates international law and undermines the integrity, territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine, then you're going to face consequences that will hurt your country.
So President Zero is concerned about the territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine while he destroys the territorial integrity and sovereignty of the United States of America. President Zero is pushing us to a hot war. He's already started the Cold War along with Hillary Clinton, who got the ball rolling by calling Putin Hitler, if you remember. Another great genius. I think Hillary is the smartest woman on earth. She called Putin Hitler because of his taking of Crimea. And now President Zero is just so concerned about the territorial integrity and sovereignty he said that there will be consequences that will hurt Russia. Do you understand what's going on? Do you understand that things go in stages? Let me back up with you for a minute. Let's say you're in a car. You can't listen to this. You're too busy. It's just too much for you. You'll deal with it when it comes along. Entertain me, Mike. Be a clown. Tell me a meatball recipe. Tell me about Teddy. Entertain me, please. I'm not interested in world affairs. What can I do about them anyway? Well, I can't help you if you're not interested. If you want to put your head in the sand, go ahead and do so. But isn't it quite ironic that your president, a pacifist, is trying to gin up a war with Russia? Does it not strike you as odd that this man of peace, this internationalist, is trying to start a war with Russia? Does it not strike you as bewildering why he may be doing it? Of course, he's not doing anything. President Zero does what he's told to do. When President Zero goes off the teleprompter, you can see the real president stumbling around, not knowing exactly what he's talking about, which is why he made statements that were adolescent at best when he said that Russia doesn't make anything. I guess yesterday I had to remind him that, oh, well, really? Russia doesn't make anything in that adolescent Beavis and Butthead voice, like he's talking to a group of college stoners? Russia doesn't make anything, Mr. President? Really, Mr. President, is it not the Russian rocket that takes our astronauts to the International Space Station, Mr. President? They're not flying there on Jane Fonda's green rockets, Mr. President. Apparently the Russians made a rocket that can go to the International Space Station while you've killed the ability for Americans to do it. Remember that, Mr. President, how you destroyed NASA because you're such an anti-war guy? And by the way, Mr. President, you said immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. No, they're not rushing to Moscow because all of the benefits that were given out by the communist state in the past, the housing, the medical care that was horrible, the one salami a month, they were eliminated. All of the freebies were eliminated. We all know that Obama has created a new Cold War. He's done it single-handedly. 50 years of an advancement of relations with the ex-Soviet Union, now Russia, has been thrown out the window because this fool on the hill has created a new Cold War. Did he do so on purpose? He may as well have done so. It doesn't matter. The end result is the same. Now, I got to tell you something. I've studied wars before. I told you I've studied World War I and the origin of World War I. This is eerily similar to World War I. While we no longer have archdukes, we have archfools. And the archfool in the White House yesterday, I played this over and over for you to try to get you to understand how crazy the man is. When he went off script in a meeting with the left-wing economist, did you hear what he had to say? I want you to play it again, Neil. Play clip number one so the people can listen to the fool on the hill. Listen.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything. Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity. The life expectancy of the Russian male is around 60 years old. The population is shrinking.
This is the president of the United States of America sounding like a drunk college frat guy who just came off a bender. If you listen to the innuendo, he's sneering at Russia. He's provoking Putin. Does he want an all-out war with Russia? Is anyone listening to this show, anyone, you, lady, getting into your car with a bag full of groceries, you in New Jersey? Sir, you on the bicycle who has a headphone on somewhere in San Francisco who listens to this show in order to mock it because you think you're superior to me, do you want a war with Russia? Is that what you think you put this clown in the White House for, to start World War III? Because that is what this clown is about to do. The stooge in the White House is not doing it because he particularly wants the war. It's because the forces behind the stooge want the war. You see, as the war with Iraq wound down, and the war in Afghanistan is winding down, the bloodthirsty military-industrial complex cannot thrive without a war, a hot war. And there are many senators who have husbands in the armaments business through five or six different front companies, and the profits are just not there anymore. Yes, it's true the money is flowing in from the deals with China while the wife is on major committees. I understand that. But the money they used to make on the war, it's just not good anymore. It's just not like what it was. And so, therefore, profit, profit, profit. They must look at the bottom line. And so, therefore, how better to raise profits for the husbands of senators and the wives of senators, for the husbands of congressmen and the wives of congressmen, for the sons of congressmen and the daughters of congressmen? How better to raise profits than to go to war with Russia? Now, it is true they don't want a total war. They don't want a nuclear war. They want a limited war. A limited war that will require munitions, require equipment, require food, transportation. There's not enough money in transporting illegal aliens, you see. They need to transport weapons and materiel long distances. We are on the verge of World War III as a result of the imposter in the White House and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse who are trying to push a hot war with Russia. And if you think that I'm making this up, let me give you some facts before you turn the dial. As I speak with you today, the United States, under the peacenik Barack Obama, along with his cohorts in the new Soviet European Union, are intensifying their confrontation with Russia. Just Sunday, while you were preparing for your picnic, the head of NATO, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, gave an interview to the French newspaper Midi Libre, declaring that the military alliance called NATO anticipated Russian aggression and would respond accordingly. The head of NATO said that they will intensify its military maneuvers and draw up defense plans. On CNN, Sunday, while you were planning your picnic, CNN announced that Russia had commenced the military maneuver on Monday, which will take place close to the Ukrainian border, which will include 20,000 troops and 100 combat aircraft. Given this alleged threat by Russia to Ukraine, we said, I guess, that we have to strengthen our own military preparedness. Here's a story out of the Middle East that should have your ears. Of course, Obama's busy with Africa right now. He can't be bothered. An Iraqi lawmaker, a woman, cried out for help because ISIS, the Islamic State fighters, said they will execute all members of her religion. 40,000 members of a small religious group were warned either convert to Islam, the religion of peace, or be executed. They are the neo-Nazis of our time. They're beyond neo-Nazis. Excuse me, they're Islamo-fascists. And the whole world should rise up and destroy them, wipe them off the planet. Wipe them off the planet. The entire Sunni triangle is a pustule that needs to be decimated. A member of Iraq's parliament made a tearful plea today to save us after bloodthirsty jihadists, Mr. Obama, seized two northern towns and vowed to execute all members of her religion. A member of the Yazidi community cried for help during discussions over the mounting crisis, and she yelled out, "In the name of humanity, I call upon all of you to save us. Save us," she shouted into a microphone. "Our families are being slaughtered, as are all other Iraqis are being massacred by ISIS." Can you believe this? And we've done nothing? Can you believe this president won't lift a finger to stop these jihadists who have taken over the Sunni triangle? You have to ask yourself which side he's on. And I'm asking it. I don't care what you think of me. Why is he doing nothing? Can anyone explain to me why this president is doing nothing to stop them as their cancer spreads through Iraq, blowing up churches, killing Christians, decimating other religious minorities? Instead, he has something to say about Israel and Gaza. Israel's on the front lines against ISIS. And remember, ISIS are cousins of Hamas. Make no mistake about it. So if you stood with Hamas, you were standing with ISIS. And that means you were standing with the decimation of minority religions in the Middle East. That's who you are. Make no mistake about who you are and which side you've taken. You're a bunch of Jew-hating anti-Semites, especially if you're Jewish. Don't tell me that you're anti-Zionist, because Martin Luther King Jr. said, don't be fooled. There's no such thing as anti-Zionism, it's anti-Semitism. I've known these leftist slime. I know who they are. Oh, we're not anti-Semitic, we're anti-Zionist. Nonsense! You're standing with ISIS if you stand with Hamas. You're standing with the community of killers, Islamo-fascists. That's what you're standing with. The Islamists are on a new crusade, just as in the past, and they're killing with small armies around the world. If they are not stopped, they will take over the entire world. Did you hear what Obama said? that Russians make nothing. I'm going to play a soundbite. I want to ask you what you think of it. Play clip one again. I can't get this out of my mind.
I do think it's important to keep perspective. Russia doesn't make anything.
What's he talking to, his daughters?
Rushing to Moscow in search of opportunity.
See, here's an example of a man who is so shallow that when he speaks without a speech, this is what he thinks. He's like, sounds like he was talking to his daughters. I mean, Russia doesn't make anything, like in that adolescent kind of, you know what I'm saying, accent-wise? Immigrants aren't rushing to Moscow. Of course they're not rushing in. There's no welfare state like you created here. Everything in Russia got rid of. You picked up like it's delayed, like the wheel. You discovered the wheel called Marxism. Wow, that's cool. If you give them things, they'll actually like you and you can have manipulate them and all. Wow. Ooh, let's try that. The Russians got rid of that. Oh, let's give them, food, shelter, clothing, medicine, legal care, cars, shoes, phones. Let's see, we get 80% of the population on some kind of government handout. Then they're going to need us even more. That sounds great. Let's try that. Him and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse. They discovered what the Soviet Union threw out. Of course they don't go to Moscow. Nobody wants to go to Moscow because there's no welfare there. They all want to come here from the third world. Wouldn't you come here to sit on your behind and do nothing? If the people were stupid enough to give you everything? What a dumb nation we are. What a stupid nation to let these third worlders into this country who abuse us, spit on us, rip our flag up, don't speak our language. And if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm not the xenophobe. You're the hater. You hate your own country. Don't tell me I'm xenophobic. You're the hater. You hate everything good about this country. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Well, what a day this has been. We've been talking about this country, the United States, in a conspiracy with the European Union, trying to egg on a war with Russia. That's right, you heard me. Now you may say, come on, are you sure of that? Yes, I'm sure of that. We have the evidence that this country, the United States of America, has made a decision to try to steam up a war with Russia, a hot war. Right now you see Obama's pushed us into a cold war, but the average dunce out there wouldn't know that. There have been war games going on and military maneuvers. That's right. The European Union and the U.S. have intensified their confrontation with Russia. And we've talked about this with a leading expert on it, Dr. Stephen Cohen from NYU. Trust me, you've got to make it clear to your congressman that we do not want World War III. The Ukraine is none of our damn business. It's about a grab by the European Union. They're pushing Russia. Russia is not pushing the United States. That's my opinion and the opinion of experts. Trust me, Obama is about to wage a war, an all-out war in eastern Ukraine, unless he is stopped by Congress. But you don't know this. A Senate bill has already prepped the country for war with Russia. The bill was signed in the middle of the night by the community organizer in May of 2014. It is called the Russian Aggression Prevention Act of 2014. It paves the road for a preemptive first strike on Russia. You heard me. All you left-wing lunatics who put this psychotic in the White House, you heard me. It's you leftist SOBs who put this liar in the White House who is now paving the road for a preemptive first strike on Russia. And where are the loudmouths on the left? Nowhere. They were never anti-war. They were just anti-American. In other news, go to michaelsavage.com and see the pictures from real journalists who have posted photographs from Gaza, journalists from Italy, Finland, India, and France, all exposing Hamas' human shield strategy. You heard me. You stupid morons, you. You stupid idiots, you. We have no journalists left in America except a few on the Internet. But journalists in Italy, Finland, India, and France actually captured photos of the black-masked Islamofascists called Hamas grabbing children off the streets of Gaza, holding them by the neck and bringing them into the line of fire. Go take a look at the pictures, you idiots. What do you have to see until you finally understand the madness and the lies under Prince Obama? What about Ebola? It's not over. Bodies are being dumped in the streets in Africa as Africa struggles to curb Ebola. But you think it's all fine. You're fine. The media, the government media complex. Yes, it's fine. It's fine. Meanwhile, the suspects who murdered one of our border agents were repeatedly arrested and deported back to Mexico. And here they are again. I guess they're part of the dreamers that Nancy Pelosi is so in love with. The Gaza school attack, remember the one last week? There's evidence that it was staged, that the bodies were moved into the courtyard after the strike. Thank you very much, American media. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing not only a death of common sense, but the death of the United States of America as you knew it, under this left-wing fanatic and the four horsewomen of the apocalypse surrounding him. Infidels, thank you for listening. I've given you 15 minutes, and I hope I've given you America on the Savage Nation.
Savage.